What happens when the person meant to protect you becomes the threat you must survive? In 1974, 13-year-old Lenny Albright knows this reality intimately. She's changed schools 6 times in 4 years, each move following the same devastating pattern: her father's explosive temper, a lost job, tearful apologies, and the family's belongings crammed into a rusting VW van. Her father, Ernst, returned from Vietnam a ghost of the charming mechanic he once was. 18 months as a POW stripped away his gentle nature, leaving paranoia and rage that manifests in violent nightmares. Her mother, Cora, still wearing that optimistic smile from when she fell in love at 17, hides bruises under long sleeves and clings to the belief that love can heal anything. When Ernst inherits property in Alaska from a deceased war buddy, he sees salvation. For Lenny, it feels like stepping off the edge of the known world. The journey to Alaska begins with campfires and laughter, offering glimpses of the father Lenny barely remembers. But Kanek, a remote settlement accessible only by boat or plane, shatters any romantic notions. Their inherited cabin lacks electricity, running water, or indoor plumbing. Just a small, blackened log structure surrounded by junk and animal skulls. Large Marge Birdsall, who runs the trading post, becomes their first lifeline. She hands them bear whistles with a prophetic warning. People either run to or from something in Alaska. The state itself can be Sleeping Beauty one minute and a bitch with a sawed-off shotgun the next. When Kanek's women arrive with tools, Lenny witnesses frontier strength firsthand. They teach the Albrights to build predator-proof caches, construct greenhouses, and shoot for survival. Alaska doesn't care about your past or pain. It demands only that you adapt or perish. Summer in Alaska brings 18-hour days that energize the family. They work tirelessly, chopping wood, tending gardens in the midnight sun, smoking salmon, canning vegetables. Ernst seems happier, even laughing occasionally. At the one-room schoolhouse, Lenny meets Matthew Walker, whose sun-bleached hair and love for books captivate her. Their shared passion for Jack London creates an immediate bond as Matthew shows her secret places, cliffs where eagles nest, hidden trails, the rhythm of this wild place. As autumn approaches and darkness creeps in, Ernst changes. His jaw tightens, his eyes dart. He begins spending time with Mad Earl Harlan, a survivalist who feeds his paranoia about government collapse, returning home drunk most nights, ranting about conspiracies. By December, their cabin becomes a pressure cooker. When Geneva Walker drowns after falling through ice, tensions explode. Ernst, drunk and jealous, accuses Cora of flirting with Tom Walker, Matthew's father, whose successful homestead represents everything Ernst isn't. His rage erupts. He hits Cora so hard she flies into the wall. Tending to her bleeding mother, Lenny hears the shocking response. "He didn't mean to. He just loves me too much sometimes." Lenny realizes this violence has happened before. They're trapped with no police, no escape, facing an Alaskan winter where darkness reigns for months. 4 years pass. 17-year-old Lenny has grown wild like Alaska itself, mahogany hair to her waist, confident traversing wilderness alone. Ernst works the North Slope pipeline each winter, leaving when his nightmares intensify, a compromise arranged after another violent incident. When Matthew returns from school, childhood friendship blossoms into love. They meet secretly, sharing dreams and their first kiss. Matthew gives Lenny a carved bone heart necklace and urges her to apply to university with him. As their love deepens, Ernst builds a razor wire-topped wall around their property, literally imprisoning his family. Large Marge offers escape, but Cora refuses. Men like Ernst never stop hunting women who leave. Privately, Large Marge gives Lenny a university acceptance letter. "Run like hell, kid, and don't look back," she advises. But how can Lenny abandon her mother? When Ernst discovers evidence of Matthew's presence, he padlocks the gate and drags them home, brutally attacking Cora. During their escape with Matthew's help, they fall into a crevice. Matthew suffers a broken leg and severe head trauma. Using her survival skills despite her own broken arm and cracked rib, Leenie creates shelter, treats his wounds, and holds him through freezing nights. Matthew's condition is critical. He may remain vegetative or suffer permanent cognitive impairment. Released from the hospital, Leenie learns Ernt has been freed because Cora didn't press charges. He apologizes and Cora accepts him back, but Leenie vows never to speak to him again. Visiting Matthew at the rehabilitation center devastates her. He's strapped to a bed with a cage bolted to his skull, unable to speak coherently. Then she discovers she's pregnant with Matthew's child. When Leenie reveals her pregnancy, Ernt explodes, beating her with his belt. As she tries to protect her unborn child, Cora shoots Ernt in the back, then shoots him again when he turns toward Leenie. "Not Leenie," Mama says, "not my Leenie." With Ernt dead on their cabin floor, they face an impossible choice: call police and risk Cora's imprisonment, or dispose of the body and flee. They choose survival. They drag Ernt's body to a frozen lake, attach animal traps as weights, and push him into frigid water. As his face disappears beneath ice, Leenie realizes she can simultaneously hate her father for his violence and mourn him. They stage the cabin to look like Ernt killed them both and disappeared, then flee to Seattle. In Seattle, living with Cora's estranged parents, Leenie gives birth to Matthew Denali Walker Jr. As Susan Grant, she attends university, works at a bookstore, and studies photography, though her heart remains in Alaska. She takes MJ camping in the Ho Rainforest, teaching him wilderness skills that are his heritage. 7 years later, Cora is diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. In her final days, she gives Leenie a notarized confession stating she alone killed Ernt, urging her to return home. After Cora's death, Leenie finds 2 one-way tickets to Alaska among her mother's possessions. Arriving in Homer with MJ, Leenie confesses at the police station. Though arrested, charges are dropped after Tom Walker intervenes. At the Walker property, now a successful lodge, she reunites with Matthew, who works as a river guide and painter despite lingering pain and speech difficulties. When MJ introduces himself as Matthew Jr., father and son form an immediate bond. The community gathers on boats to scatter Cora's ashes. Surrounded by faces from her childhood, Leenie speaks about her mother's unlikely journey and how she came to love Alaska. As she pours ashes into water, Leenie understands that loss is now as much a part of her as love. She has found where she belongs. In Alaska, wild and untamed like herself. Years later, Leenie describes herself as an ordinary Alaskan wife and mother whose photographs unexpectedly gained recognition. Alaska revealed her father's darkness. They didn't understand then how war could shatter a strong mind. The wilderness taught her that love can be both salvation and destruction. Her mother's love for her father nearly destroyed them, yet her love for Matthew and her son ultimately saved her. Alaska emerges as more than setting. It's a character that simultaneously saves and destroys, stripping away pretense to reveal true nature. In this harshest landscape, Leenie learned her mother's lesson. Alaska offers a terrible gift, the revelation of who you truly are when survival is at stake. True wilderness exists not just in external landscapes, but within ourselves, in the choices we make when faced with love and fear, loyalty and self-preservation. Leenie concludes that Alaska is home only to the sturdy, the strong, the dreamers, and she firmly counts herself among them. Like the land itself, she has been shaped by beauty and brutality, emerging scarred but stronger, wild but wise, and finally, truly free.